region this evening. That should keep clouds, scattered showers, and cooler daytime temperatures for parts of Illinois and Indiana today. Southwest flow will develop tonight and Thursday and bring a brief warming trend to the entire area. Highs today will range from the mid-60s in central Indiana to near 80 degrees in central Iowa. Lows tonight mainly in the 50s across the region. In Champaign-Urbana today, cloudy with scattered showers, the high 68. Tonight, mostly cloudy, scattered showers, the low 55. Mostly sunny tomorrow with the high around 80 degrees. Thursday night's low 48 with a chance of showers. And on Friday, mostly cloudy, a 40% chance of showers with the high 58 degrees. Just very, very much cooler beginning on Friday. Checking temperatures and conditions around the two-state region at this hour, 60 degrees in Danville. It's overcast and 64 in Decatur. Chicago reporting a little bit of rain at 61 degrees there. In Indianapolis, mostly cloudy skies, 63 degrees. Bloomington, Indiana, overcast and 62. At Willard Airport in Champaign, skies are overcast at 61 degrees. The dew point 57, winds out of the southwest at 9 miles per hour. The humidity 87%, the barometric pressure 30.00 inches and rising. And outside our studios, it's 64 degrees.
WILL programming is made possible by Country Financial Representative Scott Jackson, Village at the Crossing in Champaign, committed to helping Central Illinois families achieve financial security and protect their home, family, and property since 1990. Online at scottjacksonfinancial.com.
This is the Afternoon Magazine. I'm Craig Cohen. Through the years, American farms have grown a variety of crops, from corn to soybeans to cotton and more. Perhaps the most important crop of all was a new generation of farmers. Careers in agriculture have been traditionally passed down from parent to child, but that's falling by the wayside as more young people opt to leave the farm, choosing other careers. As Illinois Public Radio's Laura Kennedy reports, farmer mentorships may fill the gap.
On a sunny Saturday morning at the Bloomington Farmers Market, Annie Metzger of Samara Farm helps a customer interested in some freshly harvested fennel.
What does it taste like?
It has a black licorice flavor to it.
Oh, well, maybe I should try one. I'll take one.
All right.
Annie's husband, Zach Metzger, watches her close the sale.
I love the small business aspect of it. I love running a business and trying to do things in the best way possible.
It's an important lesson in farm finance, which Zach Metzger hopes will make Samara Farms successful. It was just a handful of years ago that the Metzgers weren't even farming at all. A high school physics teacher working in the Chicago area, Zach Metzger couldn't resist the lure of the land. He says the desire to farm just snuck up on him, and he was eager to be a part of the new local food economy. Colleen Callahan, Illinois State Director for Rural Development at the USDA, says the growing local food movement is an accessible way to get into farming.
I do view the Local Foods Initiative as an opportunity to invite the next generation back to the farm.
Back to the farm, because for many years, young people have been leaving the traditional family farm. Tara Brockman, executive director of the Land Connection, an agricultural educational nonprofit, says that's creating a gap.
About a generation or two ago, people who grew up on farms started to be doctors and lawyers and accountants, and now we're reaching where those elderly farmers are dying and there is no one in the family to take over the family farm.
Brockman says that's where Central Illinois Farm Beginnings comes in, a program under the Land Connection. It was originally devised by the Land Stewardship Program in Minnesota to help people of all ages and all walks of life learn entrepreneurial farming. Designed specifically to teach small-scale farming, Farm Beginnings provides workshops and mentorships for budding farmers. Kathleen Merrigan, Deputy Secretary of the USDA, says farmer mentorships are a growing trend in agriculture and a good way to foster the next generation of farmers. She says it's uniquely hands-on, though students learn there is more to farming than just getting their hands in the soil.
They have to have business plans and accounting skills.
Merrigan says the new fervor around local agriculture allows consumers to know the farmers who grow their food and feel confident in the quality. This trend is helping draw more people like the Metzgers into farming, and farmers looking to pass on their knowledge to the next generation are also happy with the trend.
Farmers are desperately hungry for these young people to come to the farms and ranches.
Leslie Cooper Band of Prairie Fruits Farm, east of Urbana, is one such mentor.
We have offered mentorships to people that are interested in either goat husbandry or goat dairying in particular, or organic fruit production.
Cooper Band says the folks she's mentored range from 20-somethings to middle-aged people looking to start over. Mentorships through the Farm Beginnings program provide a focused, year-long alternative to a college degree in agriculture. Tara Brockman from Farm Beginnings says they have about 25 farmers acting as mentors. They receive a small stipend, but it's largely volunteer work. Farmer Leslie Cooperband says in her role as mentor, she can reveal the harsh reality of farming.
Get behind the glamour aspect of farming, because I think people tend to romanticize it.
Tara Brockman says many farmers are keen to pass on their knowledge and give back. Mentorships can also be very practical for the farmer.
When it's especially an intensive mentorship, then the farmer is getting young, strong, often, you know, labor in exchange.
The USDA's Colleen Callahan says farmers who make the commitment to become mentors leave a lasting imprint.
Whatever it is that you've done in the agricultural realm, to be able to share that with somebody, to have it live on, is really quite a legacy.
The legacy of the farmer who mentored Zach and Annie Metzger lives on right on their farm. Farmer Garrick Veenstra showed them the best way to grow crops in the occasionally brutal Illinois climate. He also gave them garlic starts a few years ago to take with them as they started farming on their own.
And we've been growing it since then and refining it a little bit on our own. We call it the New City Hardneck.
The Metzgers plan on growing and refining even more so that one day they too can mentor the next generation of farmers. In the meantime, they take inspiration from the tattoo on Annie Metzger's back.
It says hope in Gaelic. You have to have hope springing eternal as a farmer, that's for sure.
Tara Brockman adds that although the Farm Beginnings program helped the Metzgers get a start in agriculture, life on the farm is not for everyone. Farm Beginnings weeds out those not ready for the full commitment of farming. In fact, fewer than half of the participants end up going into farming full-time after their mentorships. Still, she says, it's a start toward bolstering the ranks of the traditional American farmer. I'm Laura Kennedy.
Champaign City Manager Steve Carter announced late Tuesday that he will retire next March. Carter has been the city manager since 1985. In 27 years on the job, he has played a key role in the development of the downtown area and has seen significant growth in the city of Champaign in terms of both population and business development. I spoke with Carter this morning about his decision to retire and his reflections on how Champaign has changed. You can hear our full discussion at will.illinois.edu, but here's some of what he had to say about where he thinks the city of Champaign is headed.
In terms of the things that we're looking at, you know, we'd like to see more housing around the fringe of the downtown, more workplace-type housing, you know, people who actually work here. We have increased the amount of housing downtown quite a bit, but it's a little pricey for some people, and so we'd like to see more housing around the downtown. Certainly the development of the area around the Second Street Reach with the big drainage project that we did is such an amenity, and, you know, I think that'll all happen, you know, within the next few years as the economy picks up a little bit and people begin to see some of the development around the Second Street Reach. I think they'll get excited by that, and you'll see restaurants opening up their properties to that so that, you know, they have a nice amenity with a patio looking over it. And, you know, I think you'll see the campus town area become even more of an urban neighborhood. And so I think it'll be hard for some students to tell whether or not, you know, they were in a neighborhood in Chicago or whether they're on the campus of the University of Illinois, you know, to really be vibrant and thriving and a high-density area. So I think, you know, those are all things that, from the development side, we'll see happening over the next few years. And not so much the greenfield development, I think, here as well as the other parts of the country. We're seeing people not quite as interested in that and more interested in more of an urban lifestyle.
That's Champaign City Manager Steve Carter. He announced his plans to retire in March after 27 years on the job. You can hear my complete conversation with him at will.illinois.edu.
Support for WILL comes from World Harvest International and Gourmet Foods on the corner of 6th and University in Champaign, providing Champaign-Urbana with an international selection of chocolates, cheeses, oils, balsamic vinegar, jams, spices, barbecue sauces, and more. World Harvest invites you to join them in supporting public radio.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Wednesday. It's the 3rd of October, 2012. It's the birthday of the chick lit novelist Lindsay Kelk, born in Doncaster, South Yorkshire, 1980. She was living in London, had just gotten back from a trip to New York, got the idea to write a novel, and it came out entitled I Heart New York. Started a whole series of I Heart novels, I Heart Hollywood, I Heart Paris, Las Vegas, London. Lindsay Kelk, whose next novel, About a Girl, is due out next year. It's the birthday of Emily Post, born Baltimore, 1873, wrote about etiquette. Emily Post, who said, "Manners are a sensitive awareness of the feelings of others. If you have that awareness, you have good manners, no matter what fork you use." It's the birthday of Harvey Kurtzman, the cartoonist, born in Brooklyn, 1924. He was one of the founders of Mad Magazine in 1952. It's the birthday of the man who said 50% of people won't vote and 50% don't read newspapers. I hope it's the same 50%. Gore Vidal, born at West Point, New York in 1925. Best known for his works of historical fiction, Julian, Burr, and Lincoln, and his 1968 novel, Myra Breckinridge, a satire about a transsexual, was an international bestseller. He died of pneumonia 2 months ago at the age of 86. Gore Vidal, who had many harsh things to say about the New York Times because they'd given him a bad review at one time. They published a long obituary in his honor, but it contained three errors that required correction. And it's the birthday of the novelist Thomas Wolfe, Asheville, North Carolina, 1900. Wanted to be a playwright at first. He wrote, acted in several plays at the University of North Carolina, later at Harvard, moved to New York, taught playwriting at NYU, turned to fiction when he was 26, and wrote what would become his most famous novel, Look Homeward, Angel. Thomas Wolfe, who said, "All things on earth point home in old October, sailors to sea, travelers to walls and fences, hunters to field and hollow, and the long voice of the hounds, the lover to the love he has forsaken." Here's a poem by Ursula K. Le Guin, Song for a Daughter.